Rural Focus around regional WA. Your voice of agriculture.
Hello. Yes, here we go. Another Rural Focus podcast. Of course, looking at everything that is agriculture and agribusiness issues affecting rural communities, not just here in regional WA, but across Australia. And coming up on today's Rural Focus podcast, speaking something that the farmers don't need. Skeleton weed. We're going to catch up with Rod Birch, who is the chair of the Grain, Seeds and Hay Industry Management Committee. We'll catch up with Rod very soon, a part of today's podcast. Also, too, we'll catch up with Chris Wallingham from Nutrient, and also, too, catching up with Scotty from Asphalt Recyclers Australia. But right now, let's find out and see how the Mushay sheep sale went. It's time to say hello to Chris Hartley.
Yeah, good morning, Troy, and good morning to your many listeners.
And how'd you finish up yesterday out at Mushay?
Yeah, not bad. So agents yarded approximately 5,500 sheep at Lambs Mushay this week. Quality over all categories was again very mixed. Values did tend to firm over most categories, though, which is a good sign for the future. Crossbred lambs yarded were mostly lighter weights. The few better processing lines sold from 150 to 180. The lighter weight lambs did sell over a wide range of 100 to 150, depending on processor and or feedlotter suitability. New mutton values remained fully firm, with the best trade and heavy lines selling from 150 to 180, and again, that's on a shorn basis, and the heavy boning ewes from 120 to 150. The best heavy wethers were purchased by processors at 150 to 180, while the lighter classes sold to both processors and export feeders at 100 to 150. The ewe hoggets sold from 130 to 160 for the better processing lights. Not a lot of these on offer. While the lighter weights sold over a wide range, again, of 80 to 130. There was a fair range of quality in these. The better heavy rams sold from 80 to 120, and the very light rams from 50 to 80. And that's it from Mushay, Troy.
Is there many sales left at Mushay for the year, mate?
Good question, Troy. Yeah, I think we run through to the week before Christmas okay. at Mushay.
Right.
So, yeah, I'll confirm that with you later on if you like. But that makes it about, what, three more sales, I believe. So, yeah.
No worries. And what, you're off to Katelling today, mate?
Heading over there this morning. That's it for sure. Got a few to sell over there today.
All right. Have a great day, mate. We'll chat to you again in the morning.
Good on you, Troy. Look forward to it.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
It is Troy with Rural Focus for this first day of December. Hopefully your first day going along nicely. Time right now to catch up with the Chair of the Grain, Seeds and Hay Industry Management Committee, Rod Birch. Good morning, mate.
Yes, good morning, Troy.
All right, we are gearing up for the summer skeleton weed search campaign. Before we get into that, mate, just for our listeners outside, what can you tell us about the Grain, Seeds and Hay Industry Funding Scheme?
Oh, it's a scheme that was introduced many years ago, Troy, to help take care of the biosecurity issues that present in our grains industry and ones that we think have got a collective advantage by having that approach. It is a contribution that is made by all grain growers on a very small, very low level,
mm-hmm.
but it helps fund the opportunity to take care of incursions, some that we may not be aware of, you know, arriving yet.
Yep.
But we're in a good position by having that committee in place to assist the DPIRD in their campaigns that they may have to uphold. The major campaign that has been going for many years has been the one for skeleton weed. Skeleton weed is it's well known and very unwelcome weed that offers some huge challenges in our grain growing areas in terms of nutrient removal, crop competition, difficulty in harvesting the crops. But it's more prevalent in some areas than others.
Yep.
But nevertheless, our experience from its history in the eastern states of Australia and other parts of the world, because it grows in many other countries around the world in grain growing areas, is that it is a extreme pest. As a declared weed, it warrants under the category its eradication.
Now, I believe you've got a couple of vacancies coming up as well.
Yes, the committee consists of seven members that are appointed and approved by the Minister for Agriculture, and it is a rolling rotation every year. There are a couple of people retiring from three-year terms, and then each year we're looking for replacement members or growers to put their hands up and take a place and hopefully see the role as a contribution to the industry.
Now, what's your experience, Rod, on being with the industry funding scheme?
My experience, Troy, is that I've been a long time grain grower. I own a grain growing business east of Karoo, and I've been doing that for quite a long time. I'm 100% cropping, so I certainly recognise the importance of, you know, any incursions, any biosecurity issues that we have in our industry come as extreme threats. And I've been involved with a number of other agricultural, organisations and that over my time. sat on numerous boards, and this is just one that I think has got extreme importance, and I'm prepared to put a few years in just to put my hand up for that role.
All right. We are chatting with Rod Birch this morning. The Skeleton Weed Program, Rod, sort of more or less does focus on education, awareness, and unfortunately not quarantining.
That's right. Originally in the scheme, there was a quarantining process of farms and that, but I want to be very clear in stating that that is not the situation now at all. The program is mostly focused on surveillance and keeping a very vigilant process of where the weed is, and then conducting searching for the weed and just the magnitude of the issue, and also in terms of control. But it does not include quarantining any land that the weed is found on, because that was detrimental to the case. It is better to promote the education awareness and working with those landholders that are affected to assist in eradicating skeleton weed.
So the program has begun already for 2021-2022. How many hectares will this cover, Rod?
Well, typically the program at the moment is a large program, and we typically search around about 400,000 hectares, which is an immense amount of land and takes a lot of resources to do that. But that is the scope of the issue. And out of that, there is about 15,000 hectares that are actually treated.
What's the aim of it this year there, Rod?
Oh, the aim of the program is to obviously carry on the ongoing work, and that is, as I've just mentioned, the surveillance and keeping well abreast of the skeleton weed distribution, checking for any new finds, checking for effective control work, and actually seeing if what land where skeleton weed's previously been can come out of that category. Also, the aim of the program is to explore new technologies, which there are a few new technologies that are very exciting in actual fact, and to assist the more typical human visual surveillance techniques. But I'm happy to expand on those if you'd like.
Yeah, go for it, mate. Yeah, go for it.
Of the new technologies that we're experiencing in all parts of our lives, the one that is looking very promising is the development of searching by using drones or UAVs, and we've been already a couple of years of experience into that program, and it's looking very promising. So that's exciting. Also, I might just add in the very new or blue sky over the horizon type research ideas that are coming through are also the use of microwaves, use of high pressure steam, also biological control, of which we're finding in some other parts of the world there are other biocontrol mechanisms that could be very useful.
With all the new technology that's out and about at the moment, mate, is skeleton weed easy to find these days?
Skeleton weed can be easy to find if people have a well-trained eye and know what they're looking for, and that is another issue, I guess, for our industry, because there are certain landholders that are out there all the time and have very good recognition of it, but also at times we're employing casual staff which don't have a deep or, if any, agricultural background. So therefore we've got to make sure that we're educating them when they're on the job. I think other potential issues we have is a lot of the grain growing businesses now are getting very large and work well into the night, so therefore there's those visual constraints, because very difficult to pick up a green weed at night, dust flying and everything at harvest time. And also the fact that skeleton weed can also be establishing in non-agricultural areas such as road reserves, railway reserves, national parks, and so on. And therefore the detection levels can be very low until somebody is by chance comes across it.
What can you tell us about local action groups?
Well, local action groups form a very important part of the skeleton weed program in delivering activities, and are also funded by the Grain, Seed and Hay Industry Funding Scheme. And how they work is that they are mostly in areas where there are developed skeleton weed finds, and they're using the local community groups to help assist and action the program, and the local action groups are then reimbursed or funded by the industry funding scheme. So it is really a community-based, self-appointed program group, and they are in areas covering a lot of, most of the Avon area, okay. covering York, yep. Quirin, Beverley, and out into the eastern wheat belt.
Through York, Quirin, Beverley, Brookton areas. So, yeah, so I'm sure they've got plenty of local action groups going there. Have you heard of any farms that have skeleton weed so far, Rod?
Oh, yes, I'm very aware of it. Mm. I haven't actually got it myself, which is which is a blessing, but exactly, I'm an absolute advocate for the scheme, given that prevention, like I really subscribe to the very strongly to the mantra, prevention is better than cure.
Yep.
So therefore, you know, the larger areas that we can keep it out of and then dealing with where the fines have been. But I have taken the time to, you know, see, you know, the weed itself. I've also got a number of friends, people, you know, I network with that are dealing with it and have been dealing with it for a very long time. And some of my own family have got it in other farming areas that or related family in farming areas. And I've had a chance over, you know, many years to discuss, you know, what a difficult issue it is.
Rod Birch, the chair of the Grain, Seeds and Hay Industry Management Committee. Anything else before I do let you go this morning there, Rod?
I'd only just like to really reiterate how much I would encourage people to take this issue on and be aware of it, to assist whenever they see an opportunity, to jump in, you know, consider even joining the committee and doing a maybe doing a term on the committee to make a contribution, because many of these people in grain businesses through our WA have got a huge amount of experience and are very considered and run professional businesses, and have got a lot to offer by joining the committee and doing a term and giving our industry that support.
If people do want to join the committee, mate, what's the best way to do that?
Oh, they can inquire through DPIRD, the opportunities. Also, every year it is well advertised when the when positions are becoming available and, you know, applications of interest are called for. It is out there. You know, do a search for the program and just, you know, find out more information about that.
All right. To know more, just Google DPIRD today. Rod Birch, Chair of the Grains, Seeds and Hay Industry Management Committee. Rod, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks very much, Troy. It's been great talking to you.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
Always a pleasure to catch up with this man, Chris Waddingham from Nutrients. Good morning, mate.
Morning. How are you this morning?
I'm not bad, mate. How are you going?
Oh, yeah, well, we're halfway through a big week. We're going pretty well here.
How was the sale there yesterday, mate?
Yeah, we had a few less. There was 771 head, of which Nutrien yarded 517, in a market that was predominantly dominated by unweaned calves. A few less cows than normal. But, yeah, look, the heavy numbers of calves continues, and we saw a slight correction in the market yesterday, which I don't think is overly anything to be alarmed about. It's quite typical at this time of the year, just purely and simply by weight of supply and demand. The numbers are so great that the price does tend to just ease a bit through December.
So that's what happened there yesterday, and I believe you've got another big sale starting very soon, mate.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, we've got our weaner sale. We've got 1,600 lined up for today. And and then on Thursday at 11:30, we've got 400 first-cross females. And just to round off the week, mate, we'll, at 1:30 on Friday, we'll have 1,700 store beef steers as part of our two-tiered store sale program, where we had the Friesians on Friday. We'll have the beef cattle this Friday. So it's just, what do they say? What a big week it is in Nutrien Southwest.
Yes, a massive week coming up. So hopefully if you're around the Southwest, you can get to those sales. Are they all up Boyne Up way, mate?
All up Boyne Up sale yards.
Are you seeing plenty of buyers out and about, mate?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah. I mean, certainly, you know, demand is very good.
Yeah,
the market's
outstandingly
good. And I commented that the market was back a bit yesterday. But, you know, we're still seeing in excess of 600 cents for sort of 300 kilo steer dealers and 650 cents under 300 kilo. We're still seeing outstanding prices. Interestingly, yesterday, in actual fact, heifer dealers were dearer. And it was purely simply because there was a run of Angus heifers in there that were purchased as future breeders. So but that market was actually up between sort of 20 and 40 cents. Quite against the rest of the trend of the day.
If they stay like that, mate, over the next few days, you'll be a happy man.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, absolutely. But anyway, we'll get it done. There's plenty of work being done, so hopefully we'll have three good days ahead of us.
Mate, good luck over the next few days, mate, and we'll chat to you again next week.
Will do. Thanks, mate.
Rural Focus on Triple M.
It is Troy with Rural Focus for your first day of December, believe it or not, and time right now to catch up with Scott from Asphalt Recyclers. Morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Troy. How are you?
Not bad. How are things there at the team with Asphalt Recyclers?
Yeah, things are going very well, mate. Yeah, we're very busy. Lots of bookings coming in and starting to book into the new year now. So, yeah, very happy with progress. And, our clients are very happy with the work and getting some really good results out there at the moment.
Is crushed asphalt, is it good?
It is very good, mate. Okay. We recycle all of the old roads and car parks. Tennis courts and stuff, and all plant waste from the asphalt plant. So we crush it up to a 20 mil all in, and then it's a really good cost-effective way for people to seal up areas. If you want to do hard stands, access roads, that type of thing, it's generally half the price of new asphalt or concrete.
Okay.
And it's a great product, and the fact that you're recycling a waste product that normally ends up in landfill is really a great idea, and giving people some really good results.
You mentioned hard stands. For those who don't know, what is hard stands?
If you're looking at got an area that where you park trucks or machinery, and it's getting dusty or in summer and it gets wet in winter and sick of getting mud and that into your machines when you get in and out, then we can come in and seal that up for you and give you a clean environment to work in with no dust or no mud.
You are asphalt recyclers, so I'm guessing, mate, that road asphalt can be recycled.
100%, mate. Yeah. We also crush for the bigger companies. We crush for the Downers and the lot to put back into the new asphalt. So it can go back into new asphalt at a percentage. So all roads are pretty much 100% recyclable. So what normally went into landfill, we can now reuse. So great concept.
So do you go much out of the metro area, mate? You got all of WA looked after, or how far around WA do you go?
Look, we've been down to Esperance, Denmark. We've got a job in the new year in Walpole. Product carted up to Geraldton. Some clients have taken it to Geraldton. We've actually had it go as far as Broome. So a client's picked it up on a back load and taken it to Broome. It does travel well, so you can get to the other end and tip it out all right. It does work at the other end. So, we'll go anywhere.
Anywhere? Just give you a call, mate, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Yeah, give us a call, and we're happy to, we can give you a budget price over the phone if it's a fair way out.
Yep.
And then we can be happy with that price, and then we can make the trip out and firm it up for you and give you some advice on what you may need. If you need drainage or if you need to change some water directions or whatever, we can certainly give you some advice on what to do there.
Is there a website, mate, that people outside the metro area can have a look at?
You can go to our website or Facebook's pretty good.
Yep.
Facebook's got quite a few more photos on there and a lot of comments from people on our good work. And, if you wanted to contact myself or Mark, Mark's on 0404-321-710 or myself, Scott, on 0417-910-168. And we're more than happy to come out and have a look, or I'll give you a budget price, like I said, over the phone. If you've got some square metres and a rough idea of what you want done, then we can give you a budget price and head out and have a look and firm something up for you.
Yeah, why not too? So there you go. Check out the Facebook page or the website there today. Or maybe even just Google Asphalt Recyclers. Hey, Scotty, mate, thanks for your time today, mate. Know that you're busy and, good luck, and hopefully we can chat again in the new year.
No worries, Troy. And just make sure we get that name right, mate. It's Asphalt Recyclers Australia. So, just go to the Facebook page or website and we'll be able to give you the quote.
And there you have it. Another edition of the Rural Focus podcast here on the Listener app, LISTNR. Thank you for joining us yet again. I'll tell you what, there's still some plenty of cattle and sheep sales going on before we do wrap up the year that is 2021. So hopefully if you're around regional WA and you can get to a sale or two, maybe even get yourself a bargain or two. But if you're not, you're listening maybe from outside of WA, maybe you're in Queensland or New South Wales, or maybe you're listening to us internationally. Hello to you, wherever you could be listening to us. Hey, let us know where you are listening to the podcast from. Always love hearing from where people could be listening to us from. 0480 97400 is the text line number here for us. 04800 97400. Just say, hi, Troy, listening to you from, and hopefully you're enjoying the Rural Focus podcast. We'll have another one for you very soon, but don't forget, of course, the radio show back Monday through Friday from 9 on Triple M.